If he's coming up, I'm starting.
Let's start.
Okay, I would like to, you know what, maybe I won't do number one. That was really from last week. I didn't really go into it that much, that the concept, you know, we said that in the time of the Arab conquest, when they had all these different types of messianic movements came to be. Because after the Arab conquest, then the Jews said, okay, we finally got rid of the Romans, let's go build the temple. And they couldn't, because the Arabs didn't let them. So then they had people saying, if this waited all these hundreds of years, you know, let's do something else. And they had Sharia, and they had the Karaites, different thing, but they had different types of movements that, you know, got rid of the rabbinic halachas and the rabbinic laws, and these rabbis led us astray, and we have the right movement, and different movements sprung up in that time period. 650, 700, different movements sprang up. And we know about that because the questions were raised to the Gaonim, what do we do with these people that went off the derech? In other words, they're part of this new messianic type of Jewish movement, and now they want to come back. Do we let them back, or do we not let them back? Are we mekar of them, make them balei tshuvas, or we just throw them out, cast them aside, we want nothing to do with them? So look at number one by the star. See, so he said like this, Have a yodim, you should know. Shelevnei shelos elu, before these questions, yotsu shelos lefneinu shubo misham, we had different types, similar type of questions, because of the hen shelos shudayim lezu, a similar type of question. Umefurish ba, sheyesh bimkameinu bnei odim shotel tabuz ra, there are those of us that went off, letarbut ra'a, you know, to a bad culture, off the derech, uleminus and apikarsis, and they absconded from, and they reneged on the words chachamim. And they don't do ksuvas, and they don't do gittin, they don't do yantav sheni, and they basically they don't hold of all the interpretations of the rabbis. Chazal, Gemara, Mishnah, they don't hold of anything. They have their own type of Judaism, whereby they absolve themselves of all the rabbinic Judaism, and they want to have a new type and a new form. And now, and now there are those amongst them that want to return, and they want to come back to the fold and separate themselves from these ways. How should we approach them? Should we accept them or not? And we wrote to these people that asked the questions, should we take these Jews back in? It's better to bring them close under the wings of the Shechina, be mekar of them, is much better than casting them aside. In other words, we saw last time, you know, if it's they have bad hashkafas, or they don't keep, they many 20, 30 years, they didn't keep any of the Rabbanons, and they didn't do Yontif Sheni, and they just kept a few halachas from the Torah, and they basically disavowed themselves of all types of Judaism that was prevalent in the time of the Goyim, that's okay. We'll bring them back. However, if they got married without Gittin v'kiddushin, meaning they did not have any kosher Gittin, then to bring them back into the fold, that's going to be a problem. Then you're bringing Mamzerim into Klal Yisrael. We can never bring them back in. And here the first time the distinction was made between those that, even though they went over to Derech, we're happy to bring them back in, but if they married out, or they married incestual relationships, or they got divorced without a get, and they're Mamzerim now, the second marriage, and the kids born are Mamzerim because there's no kosher get, such we cannot bring back in. We have to make a clear division between them and us. And that was really, you know, throughout the generations, that has really been the model that, yes, we are mekar of those that went off, unless they married out or they did forbidden marriages, then we have a problem, we cannot bring them in. The only one to change that, by the way, was the Moshe Feinstein. So Moshe Feinstein came with this big tshuva that, yes, they don't have gittin v'kiddushin, all these reform and conservative, the kedushin and the gittin are no good, and therefore we should perhaps reject them, comes along with Moshe and says, yes, but their kedushin are not valid either. And if the Kedushin are not valid, then there's no Mamzerim. And if there's no Mamzerim, we can bring them back in. And Rav Moshe really saved the whole American Jewry, all the Reform, because of all these Bala Tshuvas, that maybe there's no Gittin, we don't know what happened 2-3 generations ago, but then if there's no Gittin, there was no Kedushin either. And even though they live in a Jewish neighborhood and people know they're married, that's not considered halachically Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and therefore Moshe allows all these people that they're not marriages, and therefore they're not divorces either, and therefore there's no problem Mamzerim. No, that was a Chiddush from Moshe. To say, obviously, when there's no kosher marriage is one thing. Somebody had a conservative reform marriage, and then they live in a Jewish neighborhood, and everybody knows they're common law husband and wife. Halacha is a concept of Anan Sadi. We know that they're married. And then they get divorced without a get. And then they get remarried. So is that a mamzer? Is that not a mamzer? According to Moshe Feinstein, it's not a mamzer. So that's a big, big thing. Almost, based on the model of the Goyim, but they're not mamzerim. If they're not mamzerim, we can bring them back in. And that was the model by Rav Netunoi Goyim. Now the concept being, I explained last week, you weren't here, is that in time of the Arab conquest, when the Jews finally were able to throw off the yoke of the Romans, so they thought, okay, now we can build our temple. And then they basically went from the Roman, the Byzantines, to the Arabs, and they still couldn't build their temple. Yeah, it wasn't as bad, it was a relief. They just had to pay their head tax, but they didn't have the opportunity to build a temple. And you had different groups forming and different messianic movements that, we have to do something on our own, or this is the true form of Judaism, we can take our land back and we can build our temple. And this is in response to these groups that sprung up and Jews followed them. Now, there weren't major movements. I think the biggest one had maybe 20,000 followers, right? There weren't major movements in that time. The major movement that sprung from during the time of the Gonim was 100 years later, the time of the Karaites. The Karaim, that was a major movement. We'll discuss it at length and in depth, what exactly, what spurred them and who they became. But these messianic movements, even from the Tshuvas, it sprung up, and then it petered out, and these people try to come back, and those that were not involved in forbidden relationships, there were no mamzerim there, they brought them back, tachas kam peshchina. That's what they're going in, right? That's one idea that we see. Okay. The main part of the shiur I want to talk about, really, is the development and evolution of svarim, of books, outside the Talmud. Remember, up until this point, everything, especially in time of Rabbanus of Roy and the beginning of the Goinim, everything was really the books of the Talmud. These were the books that were being studied. The Gemara was written down already at that point. And whether it was promulgated, as many say, that even until the 200 years into the Goinim, the Gemara was also only learnt Baal Peh. It was always given orally. But at least we know it was written down, and that was the book that was studied, right? From the time that Amoraim already, that was studied, what the Gemara. And that was studied and that was learned. Yes, the Goyim wrote Tshuvas. They wrote Tshuvas as an answer to the She'elos that were given to them in the academies in Pumbedis and Surah. But it wasn't studied, these Tshuvas. 500 years later, 300 years later, there were answers given to the questions. But we find the Goyim writing books, Svarim, which are going to be studied. And that's a new phenomenon. Because to writing a books that are becoming, part of the things that people learn and study, just like we study a Shulchan Aruch, right? And we study, that's what we study, Mishneh Berurah. We study that. That started somewhat in the time of the Goyim. And the reason why I called it evolution is because it evolved. It wasn't a simple thing. So now the only books that were written and studied were the Gemara. That's it, the Mishnah and the Gemara. To come and study new things didn't really have that. So how did that develop? So let's look in the Igeres of Shchira Goyim. Shchira Goyim writes a history. So he said like this.
By the way, the word Igeres also emanates from Goyim, right?
Igeres is written by Shchira Goyim.
No, but it's the word.
No, Igeres is in Megillas Esther. Igeres HaPurim Azois. The word Igeres means letter. It means long letter, or what's that called? There's an English word for that.
Proclamation?
What? Proclamation, exactly. That's what the Igeres. But this Igeres Shchira Goyim, it was written by Shchira Goyim in the year 920 or 950, whenever it was written. But he writes historically. So he speaks about the various Gaonim in both Pumbedisa and Surah. So let's start with number two. Ubosei Molach Mar Shmuel Barav Mar Shnas Elef Nuntes, which is in the time of Storis, 1059 from the time of the Storis. That was a new counting that they counted in the time of the Greeks. Basically says, in Pumbedisa was Mar Rav Shmuel. Okay. Ubosrei, and after him, Molach Mar Rav Neturoi Kahane Min Bar Rav Amone, Min Bagdad Hoya, Min Totira Bro. Fine. In other words, after Mar Rav Shmuel, there was Rav Natrunoi. Fine. Uveyoyme, in his time, Solik went up Rav Acho Mishvacho Le'eretz Yisrael. Rav Acho went up, Rav Achoi went up from Pumbedisa to Eretz Yisrael. Why? The Mar Rav Netrunoi Shma Yahave. Because Rav Netrunoi, who was chosen as the Goyin, was his student. V'chad Adverinu Nesiyo Aleihu, and when they made the Nasi, which they made the next Goyin, the student instead of the Rebbe, they appointed Rav Netrunoi, who was a student of Rav Achoi, so Salik Lassen. Rav Achoi went to there. Where did he go up to? What's there? Eretz Yisrael. Rav Achoi was supposed to be the greatest one after Mar Shmuel, and he was supposed to be the next Goyin of Pumbedisa. He was bypassed. They made his son, they made his student, Rav Netrunoi, and therefore he said, I'm out. He went to Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Acho went to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote over there the classic book called She'iltas de Rav Achoi Goyin. What are the She'iltas de Rav Achoi Goyin? That's one book that he wrote, classic. Probably one of the most famous svarim of the Goyim that study till today is Shiltas the Rav Achoi Goyim. Why is that different than everything? Why is it different than the Gemara? What is it? So we're going to get to that in a minute. And then he says, Ubosrei, and after him, Molach Marav Dudoi Ba Marav Nachmon, Bishnas Tovtov Reish Ayin Beis, this is in the year 752, after Rav Netrunoi, when Rav Achoi was overlooked, so Rav Dudoi, the son of Rav Nachman, v'hu achuo the Mar Rav Yehudoi Goyin, and this Rav Dudoi was a brother of Rav Yehudoi Goyin, who at the same time as Rav Dudoi was the Goyin in Pumbedisa, Rav Yehudoi was the Goyin in Sura. What's the story about Rav Yehudoi Goyin in Sura? So Rav Shira Goyin speaks about at the same time in Sura who were the Goyinim. And basically he says that the story, I'll just tell you in a nutshell, we'll see it afterwards inside, but basically he says that we spoke last week about the Reish Galusa, his name was Shlomo ben Chasdoi, he was the grandson of Bustanoi, the new Reish Galusa in the time of the Arab conquest. So Shlomo was a very proactive Reish Galusa, and he didn't like who was up and coming in Sura. He said they're not big enough. So he imported Rav Yehudoi Goyin from Pumbedisa, and he made him in charge of Sura, of the Goyin of Sura. So at the same time, when Rav Dudoi was the Goyin in 757 in Pumbedisa, his brother Rav Yehudoi was the Goyin in Sura. Now, if you want to read over here, number 2a, Ubosei Mar Rav Yehudoi Bar Mar Rav Nachmon, Gimel Shonim Mechzo. 3.5 years he ruled in Sura. V'unami v'Pumbedisa. And he was also from Pumbedisa. And there was nobody as great as him in Sura. Afunami, so to him, Shakle Shloime Nesioi. So Shloime ben Chasdoi, the Nasi, the Reish Galusa, took him from where? From Pumbedisa. Uminai Elohosom. And he pointed at him over there in Sura. Umoi Reinaim Hoyo. And he was a great light to everyone else. Him and his brother, Rav Dudoi, were both going to him at the same time. So this we're talking about the year 748 until 757. Very, very important. 748, we had Mar Shmuel, who was the going in Pumbedisa. Then we had, right afterwards, Rav Netrunoi was taken, Rav Achoi was overlooked, he went to Eretz Yisrael. And right after him, in Sura, Rav Yehudoi. So we're all talking about the same time period. 748 to 758, 10-year time period. In those 10 years, three big svarim came about. When exactly they were written, who exactly they were written about, much debate and much discussion. But it's from those three huge svarim came about on the scene. in the time of the Goyim. What's the first one? So I thought that the first one was at the end, but I found the Rashba, the Raivet says, number three, look at number three, Kosa b'seifa kabbalah l'raivet, shebi mei ma Rav Shmuel zeh, in the time of the first Rav Shmuel, right? All the way in the beginning of number two, which is the year 748, Hoya Rav Shimon Kaira. There was a fellow by the name of Rav Shimon Kaira. V'loi nismach l'goin. And he was not a goin. In the time of Shmuel, before Rav Achoy, Rav Shimon Kaira existed. V'chiber hilchos gedoilos. And he wrote a book, Sefer Hilchos Gedoilos. Bishnas Elef Mumbez Vestoris. I know what it means, Uber Dribbishlesh, I know what it means. V'hu Rav Shmuel, Shehoye Mikoidim Reish Kalo. This Rav Shmuel was the head of the row. V'hoye Rabba Shel Rav Achoy Mishvacho. The Rashba says that Rav Shmuel was the Rebbe of Rav Achoy, who was overlooked to be a Goyin, went to Etzol and wrote the Shiltas. So the three people we have is the first in the time of Rav Shmuel, 748. We have Rav Shimon Kaira, who is not a Goyin. He wrote a sefer called Baal Hilchos Gedoilos. That's what the Ravid says.
Di Bahag.
Which, by the way, all the Rishonim wrote Sefer Bahag, Baal Hilchos Gedoilos. That seems to have been written first by Rav Shimon Kaira. Others say other Rav Yudoi Goyin wrote it. But according to the Ravid, it was written by Rav Shimon Kaira, the first book, Baal Hilchos Gedoilos, the Bahag. Right? Hilchos Gedoilos. The second book was written, Shiltas de Rav Achai Goyin, when he was overlooked, this Talmud, when instead of him, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, that was the second sefer which was written, Shiltas de Rav Achai Goyin. And the third sefer was written by Rav Yehudoi Goyin, which is called Halachos Psukos, or Halachos Ketuos. These are the three Svarim which are written. Now, we're going to analyze Alan. We're going to analyze these Svarim in their style and their substance. And if you ask me, I think each one pushed the envelope just a bit. Remember, there were no Svarim written at those times. Shilas, Chuvas, yes. But no Svarim written to be learned by the masses. Until we find these three Svarim. And each one is taking from where the other one, I think, left off. And it was pushing the envelope. And let's see what I mean. So let's look at number one. Sefer Hilchos Gedoilos seems to have been the first one. So let's take a part from Sefer Hilchos Gedoilos. Now the way it's divided, by the way, the Bahag has Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Chanukah, Hilchos Yom Tov, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Hilchos Shechita. And all the halachas, halacha Sefer.
I thought that's what the behind the Bahag.
Correct. First person that took all the Gemaras and made it into halachas. In other words, the Gemaras are all over Shas, correct? Generally speaking,
by category.
Generally speaking, Hilchos Gittin is in Masechta Gittin, and Hilchos Erevin is in Masechta Erevin, but it's all over. Came along the Bahag and says, I'm not dividing the Shas based on Masechtas, I'm dividing my Sefer based on topics, based on halachic topics, which was a new thing. Now, how did he write his Sefer? As the halacha Sefer? Like we have a Shulchan Aruch? Like the Rambam?
Similar, yeah.
Yeah? Let's read the Bahag together. Number four. Bahag. This way, Hilchos Chanukah starts off. Tanu Rabbanon. Be'etzim mechamishu mekislev yamei Chanukah. The 25th of Kislev is Chanukah. Tamne ilan delelum isvehen. You can't give any espadim. Shech nisu yivanim leichol timukol shmanim shveichol. When the Greeks came inside, they disgraced, they profaned all the oils. This is the history of the Chanukah. Next part. I didn't take anything off. Tonu Rabbanon. Mitzvah Chanukah, Neri Shubesai. Vahamahadrin, Nerlechol Echad Vechot. Vahamahadrin, Menahadrin, Veshamayimrim. In other words, it goes through the Gemaras. It takes selected Gemaras and quotes the Gemaras. Machloik is Beshamay Beshillel. What Beshamay connected Pori Achag? What Beshillel Moshe Vahoylich? Right? You go from 8 to 1 or from 1 to 8. Go through the Gemaras. Right? You like Mahadrin. Mahadrin min Mahadrin. Next part. Tanu Rabbonon. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lanicha Bez Beish Mei Bechutz. Im Hoi Dabaliya. This is straightforward, taken from the Gemaras. The language of the Gemaras.
How is it that the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bahag like this?
Because there's some variations, and he brings down some quick halacha in the Gemara, and he goes like one way, and therefore there are certain things where the Bahag will deviate from the Gemara, or bring down, or paskin like a certain way, like the Gemara, and therefore, based on that, we understand, okay, this is the way he learned the Gemara. But he wrote it almost in the Gemara form. True, he culled it from all over Shas and put it in Hilchos Chanukah, but it's almost the language of the Gemara, right? Shortened version, but the language of the Gemara. That's the Bahag. He was first. Next came...
It's nothing original, it's just like
highlighting. Highlighting it. And there are some original parts. There are some... Alan, there are some original parts, and there are some things that he even paskins, and he goes through every single part of the Bahag. Correct. It wasn't just a Gemara. We don't need that, obviously, clearly. But clearly what he took was Gemaras, he put them in a halachic form, and he culled it from the Gemaras, and he probably wrote, and we pass it like this, or I hold like this, or whatever it is, and there are shittas of the Bahag. And Rashi and Tosafot will quote them. But it's written almost in a Gemara style. With the reasons, Tana Rabbanan.
So what is an abridged version?
An abridged version, divided based on topics. That is the way the Bahag writes a Sefer. The She'iltas, which was the next one, Shiltas Rav Achai Goyin, in 101 Tetzol. So look what he wrote. He wrote a parish on the Chumash. Huh? Chumash? You know what he did? He said, okay, everybody's going to read this week's Parsha, it's Parshas Chayisara. Parshas Chayisara talks about the marriage of Rivka to Yitzchak, right? I'm going to put all the halachas of Kedushin and marriage in Parshas Chayisara. Parsha V'yetzi talks about Yaakov Avinu's neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? If you're going to keep me, I'm going to give you Meiser. I'm going to put all the halachas from all over Shas in the Parsha of V'yetzi. So what he did was he took from the Gemaras, not as much the language of the Gemara, more halachadik, and he put it inside the Parshas. And in the meantime, he also started with, it was like a homily. It was a shilta. Shilta was a homily. So he put some drush in there, and he put some musar in there, and some halacha in there. Right? He's already veering off from the Gemara, but he puts a whole limud over there. Right? Look over there. Number five. Shilta de iluman de boy le mince of itzer. If you're a shilta, if you get married to a woman, mitbe le kedusha bereisha, first you have to give kedushin, ubach buche birchse erosin vasora, and then you have to make birchse erosin. Now, by the way, this is not the language of the Gemara. This is a halacha language. But he puts in all the Gemaras and puts them all in, halachas, and a little drush, and he puts it into the form of the Parshios. That came along the Rav Shiltas. I don't have time to go through the whole thing. If you want to look in the Shiltas, that's really what it is. Here, number 5a, Inami Bram. Another question. The whole Gemara in Kizuktuvis. Ma'o live over Tchil B'Shabbos. Could you get married the first night on Shabbos? It makes a chabura, the dam, the whole thing. So he goes through the Gemara, but he, very shorthand, not the language of the Gemara, but basically halachically, and he puts it into the Parshios, which is quite revolutionary. He takes the Gemaras, and he puts in homilies, and he puts in drushes, and he puts it into the Parshios of the Torah. That's the Shiltas. Look at the halachas ksuvos, which is like halachas psukos, which is written by Rav Yudoy Goyin, number 8.
We have that in full in...
We have that. Hilchos Ketuvos, it's called. Yeah, they have different versions, the Chapsukas, the Chaskaduas. Now, I don't think it was written by Avidoy Goyim, because the same Avidoy Goyim himself was blind. So it was written by his Talmidim, but that was the next book, next Sefer, that came on the scene. So let's read it together. And you tell me the difference between that and the Bahag. 8. And Alan, you have 8?
Yeah.
B'chanukah, chayev, odom, lahadlik, ner, achaz, b'layla, rishayna. Chanukah, you gotta light one candle, the first night. B'layla shniya shtayim, the second night too. V'yesev achim cholayla, you're supposed to add an extra one every night. At shmoyne yom until 8 days. V'chayv levarach shalosh brachas, and you gotta make 3 brachas. Lahadlik, shasinisim shechyanu. V'arayim levarach shtayim, if you see them without lighting them, you make only 2 brachas. Hanamina v'layla rishim. Mikam v'eila, from then on, hamadling v'arach shtayim. V'arayim, straightforward halacha.
So why is
no language of the Gemara, no nothing. Now that, number base. V'tzorach laniach, lo ne'er v'tzorach shmoyle michutz. This concept that it says over here in 4 words, you can't use it, the candle, for your own benefit. If you look in the Bahag, he gives a whole Gemara. number four, the second to last paragraph. Amar Rabba, v'tzorch ne'acheres l'shamash le'ira, v'chikim de l'tzorch, v'yadam choshev u'avagid de madur tzorch. He quotes the Gemara. The Hechaz Pesukos doesn't quote the Gemara. He does just a straightforward halacha, like a kitzur shulchan aruch. This is what you got to do, this is the halacha, and that's it. It was written...
Why isn't that given them the credit for this?
Well, I'll tell you why. So it's written by Rav Yudai Goyin. Rav Yudai Goyin, by the way, the Shrira Goyin calls him, he was Ma'arei Nayim. He was the greatest. He was pointed by the Reish Galusa. Shloime ben Chazdoi, he put his 2 cents in, he got him from Pumbedisa, threw him, put him in Surah, said, I want this man to be the Goyin. But he was Ma'arei Nayim. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was Rav Yudai Goyin. Not only that, he was an arch-conservative. There's a whole thing about the Rav Yudai Goyin. You know, in the time of Eretz Yisrael, the time of the Romans, the Jews couldn't say Kriya Shema during davening, right? During Kriya Shema. So what they do, they put Kriya Shema when? During Kedusha. That's why by Kedusha we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Lekeinu, Hashem, Chod, Hu, Lekeinu, Avinu, because they couldn't do it at that time. They couldn't do it. The Romans didn't let them say Kriya Shema. So they figured, okay, in the beginning we'll just give praises to God, Tehillim, Psukei Zimra, and then by Shmoneh Esrei we'll throw in Kriya Shema, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Lekeinu, Hashem, Chod. Comes along Rav Yudai Goyin in number 7a, he says, now that the Arabs are here, they're not telling us anymore that we can't say Kriya Shema. It's wrong to say Kriya Shema of Kedusha. You got to do like Chazal tell us. And Chazal told us Kedusha is Kedusha, and Kriya Shema is Kriya Shema. And davening is davening Kriya Shema, two separate things. Number 7a, look what he rips apart. V'chein om amar Yudai, shegozru shmad, abnei Eretz Yisrael, shleikru Kriya Shema v'lo yispalu. They said you can't do Kriya Shema. Boim nichbos v'kona shachas v'shabas leimah ulazam ha'modas. They only let them come in shachas by the morning to say ma'modas pluka de zimra. Boim rim v'shachas maimut. V'kodosh, not that you can say kedusha by ma'modas, right? By boifanim v'chayas ha'kodesh, kodosh, kodosh, boch kevoit, before Shmonesah. Ushma be Musaf, and then by Musaf at the end they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad vayoyisim dov v'lo l'boynes va'achshav shekilo Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu Malchus Edoim. Now that the Byzantines are out, uvitok zerosel uvoyish meilim, and the Arabs came v'inichum lasek b'teira v'likra kishma l'spalo also loymar, you can't just do whatever you want eladaba dibuvim kaima ketinu chazal. You can't mix the two. Kriya Shema is before Shmoneh Esrei, and by Musaf, you do davening. You don't do Kriya Shema by Musaf. You can't do that anymore. It's very old style. Others say he canceled the piyutim. You can't just do piyutim. See, he was a stickler. And then he comes, and he does something quite revolutionary. At least his Talmidim, and they wrote in his name, Halachas Pesukos, number 8. Hilchas Ksuvos, which means not the Gemara, not the reason, not even a drush, straightforward, just the halachas, what you need to know and what you need to do. First one to do that. There was some opposition, believe it or not. Look at number 9, Udichsiv. This is Tshuvas HaGoyim. They found this in the Gnize maybe, and thing. Udichsiv, written by the Goyim. Eze Adif Umeshubach Lamoik. What should you delve into? Behilches ktuos in these shorthand halachos. V'loy sha'alnu davzeh. We never asked that question. Ela shorei v'am. But the reason why we want to tell you that it's forbidden, most of the people matin achi achos ktuos. They love these hilches ktuos. V'aymrim malanu lekushas a Talmud, Fred. What do you have to do, Gemara, and complicate things? We want to straight learn Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. We want to learn Mishnah Berurah, straightforward, Halacha Yomis. Says the Goyim, Lo Yofei Moisim. That's not correct. Asa La'asas Kain. Forbidden to do that. Shemem Matin B'Torah. Because you're limiting learning Torah. You're supposed to harva on the Gemara and know the reasons and Mabayev or other. Not straightforward halacha. Uksiv yagdil teira yadil v'lo yaid. And not on that, el shigamim l'tamot teira chasoshon sheishtakach. You're causing terror to be forgotten. Going straight to the final answer to what to do. V'lo niskenu halachas ketulas l'shanim mehem. These halachas were not written to study them. El misha lama talmud kuloi. You learned the entire shas v'oisek and you're busy with it. You're not sure. One halacha, you're not exactly sure. One halacha, afterwards it also, then mind them. Then you can look in the halachas ktuvos. But to use it as a sefer, and they write, most of the people are learning just that. Reiv Olam Matamem. They want to do just that. And the Goyim say, that's forbidden, that's wrong. But you need a person like Rav Yudai Goyim, who was so much greater than everybody else, he was head and shoulders. And it says, by the way, look at number 7, Ginzei Shechter, which was found by, from the Gnosium, I guess, from the Gnizer. Look what he writes, number 7. Ma Rav Yudai, Shloyoi Kamoiso, Min Kama Shomer Achshof. There was nobody like him for many years. Shaya Gadol, Ba Mikro, Ba Mishnah, Ba Talmud, Ba Midrash, Ba Tesefes, Ba Gadol, Ba Loch, Lamaisa, V'loyam Davash L'Sham V'Rabboi. He was nobody, he didn't say anything that he didn't hear from his masters. Haya Gadol, B'Gdusho, V'Tayro, V'Chasidus, V'Anova, and he was great in his Tzitkes, V'Hay Medaktik, B'Chalamitzes Kulon, V'Hay Matzah, Dafon L'Shamayim, V'Kabiz, V'Briyas L'Teira, and he was a Tzaddik, and he brought people close to Teira, L'Mitzes, V'Lemiach K'moisoi. Va'afatem, and you too, his boinenu ludvorov, listen to his words, ve'vinu, shuv, ale yira shemayim, ve'chachomim atem, ve'vinu dovo mitach dovo, shekol advorim halolu, because all these things that he writes, hein kulam b'talmud. It's all in the Gemara. Ve'lidu talmud lagad b'yam alaylo, lamadam mitach dovo, kaim t'kutu. And really, you have to be learning Torah and Talmud the entire time. So, yes, he wrote the halachas k'tuos, and people started doing that, and it was revolutionary. I see it as a development of pushing the envelope. First comes the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, and he says, oh no, let me take kol from the Gemara, and I'm keeping the language of the Gemara, but I'm adding a few psukim over here. That's one step. Then the Shilta is the Rav Achai going, he says, you know, I'm also doing that, but I'm putting it on the Parshas. That's a little bit more revolutionary. On the Parshas of Shavua, and put all the Gemaras together, Parshas of Shavua, and people will be interested in that, who put some drush. That's already new. It's at least it's also learning, but it's not the Talmud, but okay. And then the Hilchos Ketuvos, which is the third step, pushing it even further, that, hey, let's just do the halachas, we'll come to halacha l'maisa. And then people started doing this, that, and then there's backlash against it. But you had a person like Rav Yudai Goyim, who was so much greater, and he was from the greatest Goyim known, he pushed it through, and he did that. So people think that the Rambam is the first one to codify it. No. It happened right 200 years. This is what? 300 years after the writing of the Gemara. 200 years after writing, the year 750. The Gemara is finished written in the year 490, 500. 250 years after the Chasimus of Talmud. 150 years after the Goyim started. They already started with, you know, books from outside the Gemara. That's going to make it more accessible to everybody else. I think also this is part of our thing, that the Goyim made the entire Talmud more accessible to the Hamoinam as well. I think we see that as well. But I think it's quite fascinating, the development of the Svarim outside of the Talmud, and each one pushed it just a little bit further. I think that's, you know, fascinating thing. Then we're going to see Svarim, there'll be Svarim written on Machshava and philosophy, and Goinim wrote Svarim on, right, Rav Haigo, who wrote that, on Emunah V'Deis. On philosophy, the word dictionaries written, other things as well. But at least from a halacha perspective, from a Gemara perspective, they went outside the Gemara, added to the Gemara, and started writing Svarim in that sense. And you see, there was some type of backlash, but Rav Yudai Koin, who was so great, he was able to push it through. No, all in Babel.
They're all in Babel.
Rav Achai was in Etzor.
Okay, that's
right.
We focus on.
Rav Achai was in
Etzor. So, which population were they really trying to open car? Because it seems like Tzur and Pupadisa were running the show.
Yeah, but they're all the whole diaspora.
The whole diaspora. But were
Spain, not, everywhere.
They were not really learning.
Maybe they were, but they weren't. They're further away from the academies, and they weren't, you know.
This was a means for them just to
perhaps follow. Perhaps.
In light of all the
Well, I know that's one has to do with the other. I don't want to put in. I'm not convinced. I don't know about that because it looked like these were fringe groups. But again, I'm not necessarily convinced that Rav Yudai Goyim or his Talmidim wrote it, you know, so that people should have a shortcut. They wrote it.
Yeah, people should.
No, that's not, I don't think he's saying that. They wrote it, presumably.
Not the one sitting in the yeshiva.
But they wrote it that a people yeshiva should have something to look at. Oh yeah, what's the final halacha? But it evidently became that people used it, Matan Roy Boiler, most people used it, as, what I need the Gemara for, I have this over here. And therefore there was a backlash.
Didn't have a sefer.
Could be, they didn't learn.
It had to be in Otsam. Which is interesting. That's what they found in the Gneza.
I think they found oldest in the Gneza, yeah.
But you're not,
this is Salma Shechter.
I think so. Could very well be.
No, I just Googled it to make sure.
Yeah, could very well be. Could very well be. That's why it's called Gibdei Shechter. Yeah. I'm saying, this is the whole, it opens up the whole Gaonic time period. This Gneza opened up the whole, more than anything, opened up the Gaonic time period. The Gneza that they found in Cairo. Harabi? Correct. Cairo Gneza.
He's one of the two people of the Gneza, Psalm chapter.
Yes, Alan.
No, I'm just thinking of you're not living in Zurich completely so liquid.
Correct. Correct. Again, it for sure became like that. Was that their intent?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of
do I know? Do you know?
Yeah, because why would they waste their time, spend their time writing these little shortcuts?
Because as a review, you know, don't you have, somebody gave me a sefer called V'Talmud HaBiyodai. They have every daf, they have like the 6 points that a daf speaks about. Why do they do that? For the Hamoinam? No, for the people learning, they should have a good review. Oh yeah, let me just double check what comes out at the end.
Yeah,
maybe that's it. But eventually became, you know, people started saying, let's just, yeah, exactly, your brother. Exactly, Fred. Fred is brother, that's what he does. Who did it for? For the people not learning? Of course for the people learning. Maybe they also did like that. But we see from the Chem de Gnuze, from the Chuvah Gainim, that they had to write against it. Because there were people starting to do that. Which is inevitable. But I thought it was fascinating.
What happened in 50 years ago or 100 years
Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. Today, how many people, you know what? When they wrote the Rambam, they were same time as that. The Rambam, nobody's going to learn Gemara anymore. You're going to go straight forward to the Rambam. Right? Mishnah Berurah, same thing. How can I do Mishnah Berurah? People just going to learn the Mishnah Berurah. Nobody's going to learn the Sugya, the Shulchan Aruch, with everything. Tour in the Shulchan Aruch. Nobody's going to do that anymore.
People learning Gemara than ever in the history of Gemara.
Right? But that was the fear. But you see that it just keeps on the same issues are coming over and the same.
Clearly, it's still a need.
It was a need. Clearly, there was a need. Clearly, there was a need. That's what Alan seems to say. Now, whether they did it for that need or it became like that, it filled a niche and clearly. But it's fascinating because we never had such a thing. You know, we never had such a thing that they had, you know, swarm outside the Gemara that are going to do that. And you see, each one pushed a little bit more. That's what I'm seeing. That could be they were both all the same time. It's not really clear who wrote each one. Others say that the Balech Gedolus was actually written by Rabbi Yehudah Goyim.
Right.
That's what Rashi and Tosfos seem to learn like that. Others say of Shimon Kaira. What?
Like the year 750, right? New for Hanukkah.